بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask that the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, I see some non-Muslim faces or even some new faces that weren't here. So just for your information, whenever I say something in Arabic, I'll translate it for you immediately into English, so you'll be able to follow along with us. Inshallah, before we start, we were supposed to have our trivia from last week. I don't know if you guys remember the question from 2 weeks ago, but alhamdulillah, there is a door prize. I didn't bring it though, but next week, inshallah, you'll get a Zain Bika CD. So, whoever is a fan of Zain Bika, you know, and you wrote down the answer, try to be the first one. So, do I have two prizes? We have like a Dawood Wormsby CD and a Zain Bika CD. So, I have one for the girls, or excuse me, young women or women, and one for the soul brothers. Okay, so the question was, Surah Al-Fatiha was sent twice. Once in Mecca and once in Medina. Okay. And then, subhanAllah, we said, when Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, as related by Al-Bukhari, or excuse me, Imam Muslim, on behalf of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, when Angel Gabriel was sitting with the Prophet Muhammad in Medina, Jibreel was sitting also with the Prophet Muhammad, and then an angel came. And we know that Angel Gabriel said that this angel has never been sent before. And this angel said, Ubashiru bi Nurain, I give you good news, O Muhammad, of two lights, Surah Al-Fatiha wa Khawatima Surah Al-Baqarah. I give you the good news of two lights, Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Fatiha. We said, now, isn't it the job of Jibreel to bring the Quran? Yes. But here we find another angel bringing Surah Al-Fatiha to the Prophet. Why? So who got the answer? Who wants to try? Man, Zain Bika is live, man. So should be motivated to hear Zain Bika. If you already have Zain Bika, we'll throw in Rayhan. I got a Malaysian connection. So if you want Rayhan, you can throw in Rayhan. But, and some books from our brothers at Awakening. They, how you doing, Samtala? Please, brother, can you sit here or sit there? We can save the seats for the women. So who thinks they know? Okay. Who wants to write it down and pass it up here and nobody knows who you are, and then if you get it right, you can get the answer. Try. Why do you think? It's a different angel bringing this surah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two brothers that came last week and they asked me, and I gave them the answer, but I didn't tell them, I mean, to tell everyone else. Who thinks they know? Okay. You guys are still shy. Alhamdulillah, that's fine. The reason is, and I'll give the CDs to myself because, alhamdulillah, I already have them anyways. You want to try? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it. Well, this is right and wrong. I mean, it's right, can be wrong. But this is not the best answer. Okay? MashaAllah, good try.
You think Jibreel already delivered the second time?
Yeah, but why? Yeah, Jibreel, he's half right. Jibreel, he brought Al-Fatiha in Mecca. No doubt about it. But who thinks they know why? Those of you who took logic and critical thinking, come on, man. Use your ability to do so.
This is just to emphasize the importance of the Al-Fatiha.
He's really, really close. He said to emphasize the importance of Al-Fatiha. To reinforce the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha. As our brother said, yeah. You guys are really close.
Huh? Getting hot.
You're getting really hot.
Because it was an angel that came out. It was like the first time he ever opened the
door. First time and the only time. The door was open and this angel came in.
So it was so special that.
Can we shut the door, please? Yeah?
Well,
okay, You guys are burning up. Think hard. If you think about actually the wording of the hadith, it says, I'm giving you the good news of two lights. And then at the end he says, whoever reads them, because they are both basically both dua, the end of Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Fatiha, half of Surah Al-Fatiha is dua. So he said, supplication. So whoever reads them, they're going to get responded to. They're going to get responded to. Okay.
At this time, maybe we will reveal as a dua.
No. Yeah. Very close. Who thinks they can try? Think about what he says at the end. That whoever supplicates by them is going to be answered. Okay, I'm going to give one CD to the sister. Are you the same one who wrote this? Okay, so I have to give two CDs. One to the sister and the sister wrote this because they're close. And one for this brother, one for Adir. Okay. And one for our brother also. So now I have like so many CDs to buy. So I'll go to MCA and beg them for some free CDs. The ulama said that Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, when he came in Mecca with Surah Al-Fatiha, he taught the Prophet Al-Fatiha. Okay? And when this angel came in Medina, he came with the rewards of Fatiha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this special angel to emphasize the rewards of Al-Fatiha. That this angel never came before. That this is a door that was never opened before. Jazakumullah khair, mashallah. Some good efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it, inshallah. And we'll have some more questions soon, inshallah. Last time we were talking about Surah Al-Fatiha and its effects on the development of the soul. And the development of an-nafs wal-qalb. The internal ecosystem which exists in all of us. And we know that if this ecosystem is sound, the entire body, the entire life of the person will be sound. If it is corrupted, then the entire life of the person will be corrupted. This is based on the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, found in the Arba'in of Imam An-Nawi. It's like the fifth hadith and the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawi. Really, I advise all of you should have a copy of the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawi. You don't have to buy the big explanation unless you're really interested in it. But just the small matan. We said the matan is just a text of those 40 hadith because of, mashallah, their importance in our life. It's called the 40 hadith. I believe it's online free if you search 40hadith.com now. Okay, so go to 40hadith.com and you got it. The fifth hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of it, the fifth or sixth, he said, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah." He said, indeed, in the heart there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَرَحَتْ صَرَحَ الْجَسْرُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسْرُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِ الْقَلْبُ. He said, if this piece of flesh is sound and well, then everything is going to be sound and well. If this piece of flesh is corrupted, then everything is going to be corrupted. Then he used حَرْفُ تَنْبِيهِ أَلَا وَهِ الْقَلْبُ. He said, indeed, it's the heart. Some ulama said, if somebody is married and they have problems in their marriage, let them not blame their spouse, but let them start with their heart. If somebody has children and they're having problems with their children, as far as their relationship goes, then let them look into their heart. Somebody in their life has any type of problem, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being a good person, let them look into their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the rulership of the world to who? ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. Allah said that those people who are going to rule the world are those, talking about the righteous people, those righteous people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear the meeting with Allah, and fear the promise of Allah. So the heart, it's very important. And we said Al-Fatiha, it addresses many of what we call Amrad al-Qulub. Amrad means sicknesses of the heart, al-Qulub. And the heart, al-Qalb, it came from Qalaba. Qalaba means to change. How many of you hear from Sham? Right. What's one of the... Sham is Palestine, Lebanon, Jordan, and Syria. Okay. How many of you here know what's the most famous dish in a Sham? Maqluba. Le. Lina ummik. Rafa'at al-maqluba. And she switches it, right? Maqluba means to turn over. They cook the rice, you know? And the Dajjaj wal Baba Ganoj wal Mashbah Dharik. The potatoes and the dikrumi, turkey or whatever, when they're done with it, hope nobody, well, you should have broke your fast by now. They switch, they flip it over. Called maqlooba. From qalb, qalaba, to switch over. Because the heart always is changing. Sometimes the heart is with Allah. Sometimes the heart is with sin. Sometimes you feel internally your iman is really strong. It's easy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you feel like pushing the 2-ounce blanket off your body for fajr is like benching 350. Why? Because of the heart. So the Arabs, they call the heart al-qalb. Why? Because it's always changing. Sometimes on obedience, sometimes on disobedience. Sometimes it's in between. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said that the hearts are of four kinds. He said the first one is the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed in the Quran. And this heart, subhanallah, its success is not only linked in this life, but in the next life. Allah said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. SubhanAllah, on the Day of Judgment, when we stand in front of Allah, on the Day of Judgment, it's going to be a crazy day. You know, on that day, the hellfire is going to be pulled by 70,000 bridles, each bridle with 70,000 angels. This is the size of Jahannam. يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلِمْ تَلَأْنِي وَتَقُولُ هَلْمْ مَزِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say to the Jahannam, are you full? And the Jahannam is going to say, no. Is there some more? Give me some more. And this Jahannam is going to be pulled. Hellfire is going to be being pulled by this many angels. And it's going to be coming towards the people. And everybody is going to be really scared. And then the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to run and put his hands on Jahannam and say, Ummati, Ummati. My nation, my nation. Then the hellfire, it will go back. On this crazy day, you know, everything you did, everything you have, everything you can think about. The other day, I was in Oklahoma visiting my family, and my daughter was there, and I was leaving the house, and she was yelling, Abi, 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 don't go, Abi, Abi. She was screaming, you know, trying to get me to hold her. Okay? I was thinking, subhanAllah, on that day, you're not going to even remember your daughter. On that day, you're not going to think about anything. Oh, I have a midterm. You're going to forget about your midterms. Oh, I have a final. This is the final. SubhanAllah, on this day, what's going to save you is your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. On a day when money nor children going to help anyone. Except for the one who came with a good heart. Maybe someone listening to this says, okay, that means I don't have to pray because why I pray in my heart. I don't have to fast why I fast in my heart, mashallah. I don't have to dress like a Muslim because I dress like a Muslim in my heart. That's not what it means. Because in Islam, the heart has been connected to the actions. The reflection of what's in the heart is coming through the actions. We talked about this last week. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he took the name from this verse, Qalbun Salim. He said the first heart is the sound heart, the healthy heart. And he said the healthy heart, what's one of the signs? We don't have time to go into too much detail. Is the heart that put Allah before everything else. Simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came before everything. Before desires, before love, before trust, before needs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put everything first. You know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs? In Islam we have before all of that, the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. Before everything else. Then he said the next heart is the sick heart. And the sick heart, I know most of us probably in this position. Okay? Except me, I think my heart is worse than that. And he said, the sick heart is sometimes, you know, with Allah. Sometimes with its desires. Sometimes with the truth. Sometimes with falsehood. And he said, you know, this heart, whichever has a stronger influence, is lobbying. You know, subhanAllah, your nafs lobby. You think APAC has a lobby? Compare it to your nafs. Your soul lobbies you. Shaitan is lobbying you. Your friends, if they're not good, they're lobbying you. And Allah said, what are they lobbying you to? أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. They are lobbying you to the hellfire. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah is lobbying you, inviting you to paradise. So he said, this heart, sometimes with Allah, sometimes with too short, right? So this heart, he said, is the sick heart. The last one that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us is the heart that's dead. And he said, dead, meaning dead from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about people that are in misguidance, like in Surah An'am, he said, أَوَلَمْ أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَا مَثْرُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. Allah said, the one who was dead, and God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him to life, or her to life, with what? With iman. And they were put out of darkness. And they walk amongst people with this light. And the ulama said this light is sharia, is Islam. Are they the same as somebody who's steeped in darkness? So the dead heart, what's the sign of the dead heart? They put everything but Allah first. Maslow's hierarchy of needs without Allah. Maslow's hierarchy of needs without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wants to do haram, haram is fine. If it wants to do evil, evil is fine. Doesn't matter. And in fact, the ulama said, the sign of this heart is that the evil became halal and the halal became haram. That in this heart, what's permissible became forbidden. And what's forbidden became permissible. So subhanAllah, you can find somebody, even a Muslim, you said, subhanAllah, namaz, you know, namaz palo bhajan, jaldi jaldi jandai karo, you know, let's pray. And they said, I don't want to pray. I don't like to pray. SubhanAllah, it's like you made the prayer haram on yourself. And somebody who, subhanAllah, the same guy, you see him walking around with, you know, Chanda Rachali, you know, the Bollywood star. And you tell him, hey man, what you doing hanging out with this girl? What's wrong with this? Because subhanAllah, the haram became halal. And the halal became haram. And this is a very, very dangerous position to be in. When somebody start getting confused. That's why shaitan, the head of the shaitan, what's his name? Iblis. Because he deceiving people. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I mean, subhanAllah, look at the people now. If you want to see the condition of the people, they think a half-naked J-Lo on the front of a magazine is beautiful. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, He said, cows are beautiful. Imagine if you took all the Maxim magazines and you put cows on the front of them. Cows like, right? How many people would buy Maxim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that vegetables are beautiful, that the nabat is beautiful, that the fruits are beautiful. He didn't say half-naked monsters is beautiful with a pound of foundation. Why they call it a foundation? Because I don't want you to think that your real face is your foundation, by the way. But this is your foundation, who you are, right? All these names are done to, you know, as they used to say, tricknology, to make you think that your foundation is your makeup. Your foundation ain't your makeup, girl. Your foundation is you. Okay, mascara. Right? Nah, you are who you are. Now even brothers wearing foundation. Okay. So subhanAllah, shaitan, one of the symptoms of shaitan and one of the symptoms of the dead heart spiritually is that the evil became beautiful. Like a brother, right? You know he's supposed to have a beard, man. And he says, well, if I have a beard, you know, no girl's going to look at me. Duh. Isn't that what you want? See how shaitan mess with you? Well, if I wear like loose-fitting clothes, you know, I'm not going to be popular with the academic society at school. What are you trying to do? So the haram became beautified. And this is one of the symptoms we see in this society now. Where in order to fix the broken, poor neighborhoods, what do? We have a lot of gambling. So now all the poor people are going to gamble their money away. But the proceeds and the tax revenues, you know, we can rebuild the neighborhood. Yeah, people are going broke. Now they're smoking primos and playing the lotto. So the haram being made beautiful to the person is indicative of a dead heart. So Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said these are the three. And if you want to know the importance of your heart, look at this dua. Salama radiallahu anha. The people ask her, what dua did the Prophet make the most? Alayhi salatu wasalam. She said, he made the dua, Allahumma muqalibu qulub, thabit qalbi ala dinik. Allahumma means Ya Allah, but in a really nice, respectable way. Allahumma, oh Allah, muqalibu qulub, the one who turned the hearts, thabbit, make my heart firm, ala dinik, on your deen. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about us? We walk across campus, we can forget half a juz of Quran, mashallah. What we see from our eyes. We can go to class, sisters, and 1 minute, your faith can be shaken. Maybe from what your professor said, maybe from what you saw, maybe from something you fell into your heart. So look at the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many of us in this room, we know this dua? We say it all the time. Allahumma muqalibul qulub thabbit qalbi ala deenik, ala ta'atik, ala sunnati rasulika, Allah. Because the sign of someone who's doing that is someone who realizes they need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need Him. Now we said last time that Al-Fatiha, it addressed a lot of issues in the heart, but we're going to talk about three. And we begin by talking about, who remember the first one? Yeah, Al-Kibr. Yeah, being arrogant. Al-Kibr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said in the authentic hadith, Al-Kibr means to be arrogant. Kabbara means to make something big. And we say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the most great. Of course, Allah is not arrogant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, which is hadith Qudsi, I believe also in the 40 hadith, or in the 40 hadith Qudsi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pride is my cloak, and strength is my honor. And whoever tries to compete with me in these two issues, فَنَارُ نَارُ, then let them go to the hellfire. And we said the definition of arrogance that was given us to by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Al-Kibru, Batru al-Haqq wa Ghamtu al-Nas. Batru al-Haqq, we said, it means somebody comes to us and says, you know, the deen says this. And we say, well, homie, don't play that. You know, I got my own 411. I have my own ideas. I have my own program. You know, I think we should pray twice a day. Why pray five times a day? Doesn't make any sense. That's not rational. That's not logical. Right? This is a sign of kibr. SubhanAllah, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would submit to the orders of the Prophet and Allah quickly. But they also struggled. Unfortunately, sometimes the only examples that we're given is examples like, Allah said that they were all like, boom! And then we as young people said, I can never be like that, man. It's difficult. The girl is fine. It's difficult, right, brothers? Okay. So we go to the Quran, and we find the examples of the companions that they struggled also to obey Allah in many situations. But they always overcame it. Like Zainab bin Jahsh. Zainab bin Jahsh, she was the fifth wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She came from the most aristocratic family of Mecca. In fact, her parents held the keys to the Kaaba. So these people were known all over the Arabian Peninsula. She had it going on to the break of dawn. And she became Muslim. Why? Because her brothers and her sisters became Muslim. So those of your older brothers and sisters, you can pave the way like her older brothers and sisters did. She followed them into Islam in Mecca, and still because of their high status, she was able to keep that nice lifestyle. And her family was kind of like favored by everyone. Jahsh, the Jahsh family, everybody gave them their props, you know. Then she came to Medina. When she came to Medina, everything changed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he built a society not based on who's who got it going on, who's the P. Diddy of Medina. No. It was based on, we are innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. We are brothers in Islam. So when Zainab bin Jahsh came to Medina, nobody was treating her like, oh, you Zainab bin Jahsh. No, it was like, assalamu alaikum ya ukhti. That's it. And she needed to get married. She came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "Zawajni ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marry me." He said, "Okay, I'll marry you to Zayd ibn Haritha." Zayd ibn Haritha used to be a slave. Zayd ibn Haritha was from the low class. She was from the high class. You know what she said? Not me. If you read the books of Sira, her response was kind of hardcore. She said, "Ana Sayyida an-Nisa, I am the best of the women. How are you going to marry me to him? You know who I am? You know where I'm from?" She said, "Marry me, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "I marry to Zayd ibn Haritha." And she was getting upset. How am I going to marry this guy? You know who I am? This is that kibr, man. Then, subhanAllah, she went to her brothers and sisters. And she said, "You know, he's trying to marry me to this guy. and her brothers came. Ya Rasulullah, come on. You know, man, you can't marry to this girl. We got the pure blood, got to keep the blood pure. You know, right? We hear that now even amongst Muslims. Crazy. So the Prophet said, I marry her to Zayd ibn Haritha. Why? Somebody says, why? How come the Prophet married to Zayd ibn Haritha? Two reasons. First of all, Zayd ibn Haritha kana aliman, was a scholar. And the Prophet, he wanted her to marry someone who could teach her. Secondly, as my sheikh, he taught me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach Zayd ibn Jahsh to be humble before she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was broke down. All of this egotism and arrogance and who I am and everything was broken. Then after some time, Zayd, he divorced her and she married the Prophet. But she was struggling with it, you know. They used to struggle even to control their gaze. Go to the hadith of Fadl found in Sahih Bukhari. In Sahih Bukhari, the hadith under the chapter on Hajj, there was a guy named Fadl. I didn't tell you the story, right? Fadl, who was riding on the back of an animal in Ihram on Hajj with Rasulullah. Can you imagine, subhanAllah, on Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Not only on Hajj with him, but subhanAllah, you're riding on the same animal with him. And Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet's face used to be like the sun. And his teeth was like stars in the night. So imagine that Fadl is with the Prophet in Ihram on Hajj. SubhanAllah. Imagine how he was feeling, right? Suddenly, as Imam al-Bukhari narrates, a dazzling young damsel appears over the horizon, steadily approaching the Prophet ﷺ and Fadl. And she catches Fadl's eye. And Fadl starts checking out. Read the hadith. Fadl was like, wow. Chachi, I found her, Chachi. Come on, quick. Auntie, come on. I found a girl. We can get married, right? Happen to us, you go to the masjid, you see someone. Right? You shouldn't be seeing no one, but you happen to see someone. So Fadl, he caught her eye and she caught his eye and he was bedazzled by the wonderment of her austere beauty. As Imr al-Qays said, أَغَرَّكِ فَإِنَّ حُبَّكَ قَاتِلِي. Imr al-Qays, he made one poem, he said, poem about a woman. He said, I'm drowning in your beauty because your love killed me. This is how Fadl he was looking. Like, wow. With the Prophet, on the Prophet's animal, in Ihram, on Hajj, a Sahabi. So you can't tell me that the Sahabi were drones. They struggled like we struggle. Then she kept coming closer and closer, and Fadl became even more immersed in her beauty. Also, this is a proof that not all of the Sahabiyat were niqab. Because if she was in niqab, he wouldn't have been checking that now. That's why many ulama use this hadith to prove that some Sahabiyat used to show their face. So Fadl was checking her out. The Prophet ﷺ turned around. What happened to this girl? And Fadl is in dreamland. And also, this is very important to those of you who work with youth, because you're not youth. You don't like to be called youth. You're not youth. Youth do this all the time, right? Those of you who went to MCA like 3 years ago, my turn off the light speech, that's not the way to go. Fadl, he was lost. The Prophet turned around. I'm going to stand up. And he did like this. He turned around and he did like this to Fadl's face. Just turned his face. He didn't degrade him. He didn't slander him. He didn't disrespect his honor. But he checked him. So this shows us that the companions were very real people. I mean, people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina committed zina. People in the time of the Prophet ﷺ drunk. People in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there was a woman raped in Medina during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And it still didn't cause the Prophet not to let the women go to the masjid. Okay? Things happen. They're human beings. So for us, when we hear stories about purification, we should realize that those people sometimes, like Zainab and Jash, it took some effort, man, to get there. It wasn't a one-day switch. Some people like Umar al-Khattab, one-day switch. Abu Bakr Siddiq, one-day switch. That's why they are the leaders of this nation. But for most of us, we need, you know, at least 5 or 6 days to get the oil changed, a lube job, balance, and the tires. So we talk about arrogance. And we said that arrogance is to turn away from the truth. If somebody is struggling with the truth, it's different than turning away from it. If somebody is struggling with the truth, it's different than someone who just says, I don't believe this. Somebody who tries, and they're working on it, and they're fighting, inshallah, this is good. This is someone who's on the right way. But somebody just said, I don't care. So what? This is the problem. You can compare this to Shaitan and Iblis. In the beginning of time, where Shaitan was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make sujood to Iblis. Iblis was told to make sujood to Adam. Adam was told, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِي شَجَرَةً. Don't come close to the tree. Iblis disobeyed Allah, and Adam disobeyed Allah, right? They both disobeyed Allah. But what's the difference? فَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Adam, he repented. He went back to Allah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسِنَا وَإِلَمْ تَغْفِرْنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He and his wife repented. They said, yeah, we made this mistake. Iblis, there is a story, and I don't know the authenticity of it, that my teacher told me, to show you the difference in the time of Nuh. Iblis, the devil, he came to Nuh, and he said, I'm ready to repent. And Nuh became very excited. So, alhamdulillah, now we can all go back to Jannah. The war is over. Right? So, Nuh alayhi salam, he told Jibreel. Then Jibreel, he went and he told Allah, although he doesn't have to tell Allah, Allah knows. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Jibreel, tell Nuh to tell Iblis, if you want to repent, then go to the grave of Adam and make sujood. As I ordered you when he was alive. Then he went to Adam, went to Nuh, and Nuh, he told Iblis, and you know what he said? Anything but that. I'm better than him. Anything but that. أنا خير منه. I'm better than him. His arrogance is killing him. And we said there are a few ways we can become arrogant. Who remembers one? By knowledge. Especially Islamic knowledge. Nowadays, subhanAllah, somebody reads Al-Akhdari. Al-Akhdari, for us, is a basic fiqh book of Maliki fiqh. About 12 pages. You find somebody, oh, now I know Al-Akhdari. MashaAllah, my sheikh, his son, when he was 5, he knew Al-Akhdari, ya sheikh. MashaAllah. I know Al-Ajrumiyya, MashaAllah. He knew Al-Ajrumiyya when he was 9. Man anta, ya sheikh. Amr al-Khattab, they used to come to Umar and say to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, pray for us. Make dua for us. He would say, Man ana? Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Step away from me. Some ulama, subhanAllah, because of the love of knowledge that they had, they would learn, but they would appear amongst the people very simple. But if there was a problem and knowledge had to be brought up, they would bring up the knowledge. But they wouldn't go around floating their knowledge like it's for sale in the market. What was the second one? Yes, Habibi. Position. Position. You know? Don't call me Sheikh, please. And don't say, oh, he's just saying don't call him Sheikh because he's so pious. I'm not, man. I know who I am. I'm an ex-blood. I used to sell bags of marijuana in a neighborhood called Musgrave in Oklahoma City. And I used to get shot at on the weekends. Don't call me Sheikh. And I struggled just to wake up and pray in the morning like you do. Okay, we're the same. SubhanAllah, position. You know, I was reading one story. Well, I'm going back over because there were some stories I wanted to tell you. Last time I didn't get to tell you. Haram. Haram, he was from the Salaf. From the early ulama. And he was very famous. And he was a good speaker, you know. And when he speak, everybody come. Or his knowledge. And he has this taqwa about him that people gravitate to him, right? So he, SubhanAllah, he used to build a fire in the desert. And the people would come and he'll make the fire really big. And they will be coming to him and they will say, Assalamu alaikum, ya Shaykh. He will say, Wa alaikum wa salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Marhaban bikum. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome, welcome. And they said, we would feel welcome if it wasn't this big old fire between us and you. And then he would say, Hal turiduna. You guys, do you want, or he said, turiduna. You want to throw me in a fire bigger than this by praising me. It's the fire of hell. So get away from me. SubhanAllah, they used to fight this position. You know, sometimes if you went to some like conventions and you met some big ulama, you know, I remember sometime you'll be sitting in a room, chilling, and you'd be like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing, dog? Everything's cool, right? And then somebody walks in. This is Sheikh. Oh, man. The Sheikh? Because how they carry themselves. Very simple. Very easy. And they deal with the people. They said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a young girl, small young girl, like 7 years old, she could come and take him by the hand and walk with him any place. and he will not leave her until she said, okay, I'm done with you. You can go now. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, you can go. Your appointment's over. Why? Because subhanAllah, he was very humble. Look at all of the leaders throughout Muslim history. Who are the leaders that we love the most as Muslims? Those leaders who were the most humble. And who are the leaders that most Muslims like they hate them the most? Those who strove to be what? To be praised and be mighty. That's why the Prophet said, whoever made themselves humble for the sake of Allah, Allah is going to raise them. The other one he said is praise. We shouldn't praise people too much. In front of them, nor behind them. But it doesn't mean, you know, like for example, say you got like a very high score on your GRE or your MCAT, and then you tell like your roommate, alhamdulillah, you know, I got the national high for the GRE. So? No, alhamdulillah, say alhamdulillah. Because when you say alhamdulillah, by the way, the meaning of alhamdu is it goes back to Allah. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadaka ila hadha al-amr. Praise be to the one who guided you to this. We are also not like Stoics, right? You know, just, that's fine. I'm glad you memorized the Quran. No, it's alhamdulillah, mashallah. Wamma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. The Prophet said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the athar, the effects of His blessings on you. But don't go crazy. Don't go to one extreme or the other. The next disease of the heart that we want to talk about now is really probably one of the most dangerous. But you have to realize that most of the diseases of the heart are solved by Iyyaka na'budu. Wouldn't we say Iyyaka na'budu? For example, arrogance, it's wiped away. Being scared is wiped away. Shirk is wiped away. Being lazy is wiped away. Being misguided is wiped away. Being miserly is wiped away. Iyyaka na'budu, you're going to take care of me. Being devious, Iyyaka na'budu, I'm going to be straight with everyone. Most of the disease of the heart are cured by Iyyaka na'budu. Struggling. Some people struggling to obey Allah. Sometimes you feel like, subhanAllah, how long I have to keep going through this internally? Iyyaka na'budu. I'm waiting, I'm trusting in you. One day you're going to fix it for me. The next one, subhanAllah, is very dangerous. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he feared this thing the most for us. That's why it's very important that we pay attention. If you came to the Prophet ﷺ, he was so merciful. He was so loving. He was so good to everyone. But this is the thing he feared for you most. And feared for me the most. It was so dangerous that the one who feels safe from it is usually the one who's been entrapped in his tentacles. With no way out. And it's so deadly that you can do a lot of good deeds. But if you cloaked these good deeds with the dress of this thing, you lost all the rewards. Imagine doing good and getting no rewards. How deadly can something be? You doing good, and you're like, yeah, I got it going on. And you're getting nothing. And in fact, you're getting punished. And this is the disease of ar-riya, showing off. To be a show off. And people like me with big mouths, who you guys invite to speak everywhere, we are the ones who have the biggest testimony. It's very difficult. Nobody can say, I'm safe from riya. The one who said, I'm safe from riya, this is riya. You're showing off. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned us about riya. But what is ar-riya? What is the meaning of ar-riya? Imam Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam. Imam Ghazali said in Al-Ihya, that ar-riya is to seek stations. And stations, he means like, you know, being high in people's minds and hearts. To seek being high in the hearts of the people with actions so that they see you. To seek the, oh, mashallah, he's so good. Oh, mashallah, she's so great. Oh, mashallah, this. Okay? And there are some signs of the one who has riya. Now we're going to talk about them today. And inshallah talk about their cure as found in Surah Al-Fatiha. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ وَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ الرِّيَاء. The danger of riya is so dangerous that the Prophet ﷺ gave it a special name. He said, عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ السَّلَامُ, indeed the thing I fear for you the most is the minor shirk. We have major shirk and minor shirk. The major shirk is to like worship a statue or another god with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or to take a legislator other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the minor shirk is mentioned in this hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is the thing I fear for you most. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, what is minor shirk, Ya Rasulullah? What is the minor association of partners with Allah? He said, Ar-Riya, showing off. In one hadith, he said, like somebody making adhan. And while he's making adhan, he said, oh, I bet they think my voice is beautiful. This is Ar-Riya. He said in another hadith, alayhi salatu salam, it's so dangerous, like, you know, the black ant on the black rock in the night with no moon. It can sneak up on you like this. That's why, as we're going to talk about one hadith, he used the word dabba alaykum. Dabba, from dabba, when he talked about ash-shirk, ar-riya. Indeed, riya is so difficult and so dangerous that it can fall into your good actions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka." He said, "The one who prays, you prayed, and when they prayed, they wanted people to see them." He said, this person made shirk. And the one who fasted, and they want the people to know about their fasting, this person made shirk. And the one who gave a sadaqah. You know how dangerous, subhanAllah, is shaitan. Especially in sadaqah, right? Like now. Maybe like MRC or Islamic Relief or some charitable organization comes to your campus. And they give a fundraiser. And you're not even married, brother or sister. And you say, subhanAllah, I really need this money. But the Prophet said, ما نقص مال من صدقة. Nothing going to decrease from giving charity. So he said, I'm going to give it. Nobody going to know about it. Then you give it. Then you get married. Then 10 years later, you sit with your wife in the house and you say, you know what I did 10 years ago? You just lost it. This is shaitan. Don't think shaitan, he just messed with you at that moment. You know, Ibn Qayyim, he said, when we talk about the attacks of shaitan on this tafsir, inshaAllah, you know, one word he used to describe shaitan is very scary. Call it sabirun. Yani, he's patient. He waits. And that moment, he hits you. So 10 years, you went 10 years, you got the hasanat for 10 years. But what counts is when you die. And then in that 10 years, you told someone, you know, I did this, I used to do that, I did it. Bam. You got to start over. And you wasted, look, and this attack is even more dangerous. Because if he hits you today and you make riyah, you got 10 years to go. But if he waits 10 years, and then he gets you after 10 years, you lost 10 years. So a shaitan, he is an enemy to us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasted so that people can see him, faqad ashraka. Whoever prayed so people can see him, faqad ashraka. The one who made sadaqa so that people can see them, faqad ashraka. And so forth and so on. That whoever did these prayers, Chacha, brother, please, if you want to sit there. That whoever did these things so that people can see him or her, this person associated or partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dangerous is it that if you read the wazifa of Sidi Ahmad Zuruq or the wazifa as we read Imam Al-Banna or any of those dua that we read every day after Fajr and Asr, you have that one dua. Allahumma inna a'udhu bika min an nushrika bika shay'an na'lamu wa nastaghfiruka lima la na'lamu. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge in you from associating partners with you, and I know it, and associating partners with you, and I didn't know it. Showing off. How, subhanAllah, how subtle is it? Maybe a sister, she goes to Egypt for 3 months to study. Or she goes to Syria for 3 months to study. And she buys the nice jilbab, not the, you know, the American, not really quite their jilbab. The real jilbab. And she comes back, and she goes to campus, and now she wears jilbab. And she says, oh, I wear jilbab. Why you wear this jilbab? Did you wear this jilbab to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or did you wear this jilbab that people say, oh, you wear jilbab. You are a big sheikha. You are this, you are that. It's very dangerous. Maybe a brother, you know, he got some knowledge. And then he comes and he sits in the MSA and he says, well, Ibn Malik said in Alfiyah, وَبَعْضُ فَالْفِعْلُ مَا يُحْكِمْ تَصَرُّفَهُ يَحُزْ مِنَ لُغَةِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَسُبْلَ. He reads some poetry. Nobody in the world can understand it except him. Then you say to him, subhanAllah, yaqi, we're talking about parking on Jummah. And you're reading the poetry of Sarf. Why you read this poetry? Why did you learn? Why are you increasing yourself? So, ar-riya. Many of us may be listening today. You said, well, I'm not even a good Muslim. Shoot, I ain't got to worry about Riyah. I'm doing bad. Ain't no Riyah, I'm doing bad. Right? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's not the case. Because you could even have Riyah in doing bad. You might be doing bad and say, yeah, if them brothers, you know, they see how I got it going on, they're going to think I'm all that. It's Riyah. In fact, 99% of hip-hop music is Riyah. Look at me, I'm the baddest blank on the block, I'm the baddest blank at this, I got more girls than, you know, there's stars in the sky, I can drink more than the Pacific Ocean, you know, it's because of me that the world's in motion, right? This is Riyah. This is Riyah. This is show-off, right? Showing off. And exaggeration even in Riyah. You know, subhanAllah, those of us who feel safe from Riyah, listen to the following statement of one of the great scholars. He said, أَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ إِلَى الرِّيَاءَ آمَنَهُمْ مِنْ He said, the closest people to following into showing off are those who feel the most secure from it. Those who feel like, I ain't got to worry about what he's talking about. I'm not an active Muslim. There is only one type of Muslim is an active Muslim. Proof, you move, you breathe. Your blood is moving in your body. You're active. And you're a Muslim. So, therefore, you are an active Muslim. Western philosophy, you got your back, right? So, this is being an active Muslim. Now, we should know the types of Riyah so we can protect ourselves from it. It's very important that we know how Riyah can come into our hearts. How Riyah can mess with us. Especially those of us who might be leaders in a community. Those of us who might be giving speeches. Those of us who people might say, oh, sister, you are so pious. You are like the Zainab Ghazali of Berkeley. Or a brother. Someone comes to you and says, brother, mashallah, I can see the light protruding from your forehead. You know what happened to me? I'll tell you a funny story. I believe humor is an important way to teach. Okay, that's why I do that. One time about 4 years ago, the first time I came to MCA, 4 score and 7 years ago. And I gave the khutbah, right? It was whack, man. But anyways, I gave this khutbah. And this old man, this old chacha, man, he come to me, he's like, brother, wallahi, I have never in my life heard such a magnificent khutbah. Believe me, my heart is bleeding with your words, Bajan. So, man, I was listening to him, and I've never been approached like this. And I was like, shh, shh. My nafs was just, keep on, man. It feels good. He was praising me. He was saying, mashallah, brother. Wallahi, you make Sibuway look bad in Arabic. Wallahi, you are so amazing. Wallahi. And I was like, I was becoming drunk, you know, with his praises, right? Start to fall off the minbar. Then, you know, it got to me. I mean, it got to me, right? I'm a sinner, you know what I'm saying? It got to me, and I was like, yeah, I got it going on, straight up. Yeah, he's right. Wait a minute. I caught myself, okay? Then, subhanAllah, I came back to MCA like 3 years later. I gave the khutbah, and the same guy, he's like, wallahi, I never heard a khutbah like this before. I was like, subhanAllah, don't you remember me? No. Then I realized, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was trying to teach me, check yourself, man. Right? The same guy, the same thing. Wallahi, brother. I was like, hey, man, ain't you the same cha-cha, man? From 3 years ago, he's like, I don't know you. I never heard you before. I said, well, I learned a tough lesson. You know, subhanAllah, what did the ulama say? They say, la ya'arifu riya illa al-mukhlas. The only one who can know about riya is the believer. The only one who can know what is riya is the one who, excuse me, is sincere. And they said, وَلَا النِّفَاقَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ And the only one who can know about really what is hypocrisy is somebody who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a true, certain believer in Allah. وَلَا جَهْلَ إِلَّا عَالِمٍ وَلَا الْمَعَاسِيَ إِلَّا مُطِيعٍ He said, nobody can know what is riya except the sincere one. Why? Because the sincere one, they know it to protect themselves. Right? Like poison. You know, probably before the age of 10, if you had a mother like mine, you know every poison. Don't drink that, don't eat that, don't play with that, don't touch that. If you touch that, call this doctor. Why? To save yourself. Like, subhanAllah, when we take classes on campus, right? What's the first thing we do? Who's the greatest professor that if I take them, you know, mashallah, I'll be famous, Riyah. And then, alhamdulillah, I'll be so known, Riyah. Or do we say, who's the bad professor, man? I won't take that class. Who's the hard professor? And then your friends tell you, oh, this guy's bad, this guy's bad. Why to protect yourself from him? Same with the mu'min, mukhlis, the one who's sincere. They know about the doors of showing off to be guarded from them. And he said, and nobody knows about hypocrisy except the believer. Because a believer, they don't want to be a munafiq. And nobody knows about ignorance except a scholar. And nobody knows about sinning except an obedient one. Somebody that's obedient. Why? To protect ourselves from it. Now, what are the types of riya? Imam al-Ghazali, mashallah alayhi, he said that al-riya is of five kinds. He said al-riya is five kinds. And we're going to talk about each one, inshallah ta'ala. He said, al-riya'u fi al-deen bil-badan. Al-riya'u fi al-deen bil-badan. To show off in the matters of religion with your body. With your body. For example, you come, right? And your eyes look like, you know, like you got sandbags under your eyes. And you're hanging out with the brothers, you know, at what you call that restaurant? Kebab and curry? Naan and curry, right? Hey, Kebab and curry, that's my hood. Step up out of there. So you come to the brothers and you're like, and they're like, what's wrong? I'm really tired. Why? I don't know. I'm just really tired. I don't know. Why are you tired? Have you been praying Qiyam al-Layl? How did you know I was praying? Is showing off with your body. And this happened a lot. It's funny, but it happened a lot. Or you come and you're really tired when you deal with people. And you move really slowly. And you're like, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. Like, would you like a drink? I can't drink right now. Why not? I can't tell you. Are you fasting? How did you know I'm fasting? This is al-riya' fi al-deen bil-badan. Al-riya'u fi al-deen bil-badan. That you carry yourself, is funny, but it's very serious. That you carry yourself in a way that people know you're doing something. And inside you're like, I hope they know. I hope they can find out. Then they're going to think I'm good. This is very dangerous. Now maybe someone says, like, I have roommates. And I fast Monday and Thursday, say they say. And really, I love them because they're my sisters in Islam or my brothers in Islam. And I want them to fast. Is it riya if I told, for example, like Abid, I said, Akhi Abid, wallahi, inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to fast. I want you to fast with me. This is not riya. This is good. And this fell under the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخي ما يحب لنفسه. That none of you perfected your belief till you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this is Amr bin Ma'ruf. But if I was to go in front of everyone and say, you know, tomorrow I'm going to fast for the sake of Allah, and I want all of you to fast with me, this could be dangerous. Another way to make sure it's not riya is to tell them before you do it. Let's say, for example, I've been fasting for 6 months, and then I go to Abid, and I say, Abid, I've been fasting for 6 months, 39 days, and 27 minutes. I would like tomorrow that you fast with me. This is dangerous. But if I don't tell him, I don't give him any hint that I've been fasting before, and I said, you know, inshallah, tomorrow we can fast together. This is good. Like memorizing the Quran. If you memorize the Quran, and you want your close brother or sister to memorize the Quran, you can encourage them. This is not riya. This is, inshallah, khairat. The second type of al-riya, al-riya'u bil-hay'a. Hay'a means al-hal. By how you carry yourself. How you carry yourself. Different than the one with the body. The one on the body, actually you try to make your body look like you're doing something. This one too, but also it involves how you walk in, how you talk, and so forth. Like, for example, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he was walking down the street and he saw one guy, he was walking like this. And then Umar, you know, Umar, mashallah. They used to say, Umar huwa bab, he's a door. He's big, you know. And he went to that guy, and he said, لَيْسَ الْخُشُوعُ فِي الرِّقَابِ وَإِنَّمَا يَخْشَى إِنَّمَا خُشُوعُ فِي الْقُلُوبِ أَوْ فِي الْقَلْبِ. He said that fearing Allah and being humble in front of Allah is not in your walking. It's in your heart. Stop walking like that. Be normal. Sometimes it's really bad. If you go to some countries, you know the black mark on the forehead, you know? Imam Malik, subhanAllah, he used to try not to have a black mark on his forehead. But in some places, man, people, they buy, you know, basal, onion, and they do like that on their head. Why? To have a big mark on their head. And then when you see them, you say, oh, subhanAllah, this is a big sheikh. this guy, maybe, you know, he's nothing. But they did that so people will say, oh, wow, this is a big person. This is a great person. Or you might find some people, they did like, you know, like that, to try and get the people to look up to them. And this is very dangerous. Like the black ant on the black rock in the night. The third one, الرياء بالقول, is showing off by your words. And this is the easiest one. When we hear some people talking, say, oh, I know the answer. My sheikh said this. Oh, I know that. Oh, I know this. Oh, I know that. And then we throw the word out so we think like it will dazzle the people, you know, like fireworks. Ooh, you're so smart. Thank you. It feels good to hear that. You know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't speak if you know. If you know, you should speak. But make sure you know why you're speaking. Hassan al-Basri, he said for 40 years, I did no movement except I knew why. Even drinking water, I know why. When I walk, I know why. When I speak, I know why. When I look, I know why. SubhanAllah, look at the control he has of himself. But this one is very dangerous, especially in the MSA environment, where we're young, our hormones are hot, and you know we want to show people, I'm Sheikh, I studied, I learned, I'm that. Be humble with yourself. I remember, SubhanAllah, one of my teachers, you know, I used to observe this about him, the one I told you about his dad and the portable toilet. SubhanAllah, you know, the Sheikh is really amazing. If he was in this room, nobody can know he's a Sheikh. He doesn't dress special dress. He just like chilling, man. But when you talk with him, you're going to say, wow, this guy knows something. And I used to observe it. Like I brought my Adili, my brother-in-law, to see him. And my brother-in-law was saying, that's the Sheikh? I was like, dude, that's the Sheikh, man. That's really the Sheikh? I was like, wallahi, that's the Sheikh. He's like, but he's like us. I said, oh, yeah, he's like us. Because he's wise. He's trying to save himself and not show you he knows something. And I used to see him in the masjid where we used to study. People would come into the masjid and they'll be like, where's the Sheikh? And he'll be like, I'm right here. They say, SubhanAllah, this is the Sheikh? I guess so. That's what they call me. Alan wa sahl. Then he will teach them, you know. Like Rasulullah, when the man he came into Medina, I told you before, and he said, where's Muhammad? He said, I'm here. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He's the Prophet. The people used to come to see Umar, they find him sleeping under a tree with no security guards, no Tom Ridge, no Patriot Act 2, sitting under the tree. The Romans, they would come and they would say, this is Umar? This is Umar? They said, yeah, this is the leader of the Muslims, sitting under a tree. Anybody can go and talk to him. Anybody can see him, can be with him, because he's humble. So in your words, do you try to show people you know? Do you try to show people, I'm this, I'm that? Or when you speak for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other one is الرياء بالعمل. الرياء بالعمل means you do some actions, like salah and stuff, and you do these actions in front of the people. Like, you know, there's one story about this one guy. He wanted to get married. So he said, I'm going to go to this masjid of these religious people. And I'm going to pray for a long time. And I'm sure, like, those guys, they have some daughters. So when they see me praying, they'll say, like, MashaAllah, what a dazzling young gulam, you know. Let's hook it up. So then he was praying, you know. He went to the masjid and he was praying. Like, he was really, you know, concentrated. And there were some old guys in the back. And they were saying, MashaAllah, unzur ila hadha shab. Oh, look at this young guy. MashaAllah, he's so amazing. Oh, he's so great. And look how long he's been praying. Then he did like this. And I'm fasting too. This is الرياء بالعمل. Showing off by action. That you do something, it's funny but serious. That you're doing something, why? So that people can notice you. Also, shaitan, he works opposite too. Some people said, like, for example, I'm not going to go to the masjid and pray. Why? I don't want to make riyah and amal. This is a trick. Or somebody says, I don't want to pray now. Why? I know I'm showing off. Okay, if, look at this trap, man, as Ibn Hazm mentioned. If you said to yourself, I'm not going to go to the masjid because I don't want the people to see me, isn't this showing off? Yes or no? Because you're thinking about who? The people. So the ulama said, We'll take yourself. It's all good. Okay? There's no right and wrong. There's no attendance. Relax. Okay? But when you start to think about the people, this is a riya. So the ulama said what? Say, for example, right? A sister, she says, I want to wear hijab. And she says, but you know, if I wear hijab, I know I'm not sincere. And all the people are going to look at me and say, oh, you look so nice and you're hijab. In Oklahoma, that's how they say it, right? And then she says, well, I'm not going to wear it then. Don't worry, be happy. Remember the song? Don't worry, be happy. Put it on and obey Allah. Maybe a brother, he goes to the masjid, he says, I never went to the masjid before. And the last 10 years, I've been hanging out with Shah Rukh Khan. Now, subhanAllah, I'm coming to the masjid. And he comes to the masjid, and he starts praying. And then he said, you know, I'm not coming back to the masjid. Why? Because I know I'm just showing off. No, keep going. Keep going. Because how do you get closer to Allah? How? Through worship. If you stop worshiping Allah, you're not going to get close to Him. And we stop now talking about ikhlas quickly. And next week we'll talk about al-hasad. Ikhlas. Ikhlas came from the word khalasa. Khalasa. When we finish something, we say what? Khalas. Clean break. Khalas. Okay? Ikhlas. How to get ikhlas? We heard so many lectures about ikhlas. The virtues of ikhlas. Why we should have ikhlas. What is ikhlas? Ikhlas means to be sincere. Some ulama said ikhlas is to be intoxicated with the Creator to the extent that you forgot creation. But this is rare. Ikhlas. You go to the 16th chapter of the Quran. And you find in that chapter Allah says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبَرًا. Allah says, indeed, in the cattle for you is a sign. In cattle for you is a sign. نُسْقِيكُم مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِ. We give you something nice to drink from its stomach. مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثُ وَالدَّمِ. Which came between, this drink came between blood and feces. دَمْ وَفَرْثُ. Blood and feces. In fiqh, blood and feces is najasa, at least al-khabath. Something filthy, you have to wash it off your clothes if you want to pray. So, between this filth, this najasat, came pure drink. And how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe it? Lebanon khalisan, khalasa. Pure from ikhlas, pure milk. So, if you want to have ikhlas, you have to go through crap and blood. You have to go through tests. Like that grass, the cow ate the grass. If you came home and your mom had Wheaties with some grass in it, say, what's up with that? Okay? So the cow eats the grass. Then the saliva starts to break it down with the enzymes. Then it goes into the esophagus. Then it goes into the stomach. Then the acids start working. And the temperature, you know, inside there, it's so hot. You know, like some people see this stupid email about the Coca-Cola, you know, I left the meat in the Coca-Cola, I left the nail in the Coca-Cola, and it disintegrated, and you drink it. Your stomach acid is stronger than the acid in Coca-Cola, man. What are you thinking about? That acid is like water for your acid. So what about the cow? That grass is inside the stomach of the cow. It's burning, it's hot. And what's happening is the digestive process is taking out the waste and the toxins and sending the good part to the body of the cow, where it can be used. And from this came milk. So also you as a Muslim or Muslimah, in this campus, you're going to face some crap. I said it, sorry. You're going to face some blood. You're going to face some test. You're going to face some challenges. But you have to go through that process to be like pure milk. To be a pure believer. You got to go through the tests. That's how you get ikhlas. Nobody can say, I'm mukhlis. Why, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the companion Sa'id al-Khudri, you know, listen to the test of them. He said, subhanAllah, he was in Mecca, in the Shiba Abi Talib, in the place of Abu Talib, when there was an embargo on the companions of the Prophet. And he said, one night I went to urinate. He says, when I was urinating, I heard something crackling. I looked down, it was a dry piece of animal skin. SubhanAllah, he said, I was so hungry. Because I was Muslim and they were starving us. He said, I was so hungry. I took this piece of animal skin, I washed it, I cooked it, and I ate it. It's a test. How does that compare to the test on campus? That we face in Hamakallah. That we face in every day. It's nothing compared to their test. Salama radiallahu anha. How many tests she went through? that she said, I never saw any family tested like the family of Abu Salama. How many tests the companions they went through, like Bilal. You know Bilal ibn Rabi'ah. He was saying, subhanAllah, that they used to put him on the... We all know the story. They used to put him on the sand. But what you don't know is the temperature of the sand. Unless you've been to Khalij. If you went to the Gulf countries, you know that sand can be like, mashallah, 50 centigrade easy or more. So they put him on that naked. Also, he was naked. How many Muslims can stand to be naked? He was naked on that sand. And his back, they said it was sizzling. Then they put the stone on him. Then the fat from his back was coming out on the sand in the desert. Then they was dragging him by the neck. Not many people know about this. They tied a noose around him and they was running with him through the streets. Then subhanAllah, in the time of Muawiyah, somebody saw the back of Bilal. And they said to him, man, your back is really ugly. It's really deformed. I'm sure those days were like the worst days you ever experienced. He said, wallahi, it was in those days I tasted the sweetest iman. Why? The test. I'm being purified. So what about us when we have to be like pray 5 times a day? It's not that hard of a test compared to Bilal. What about us as brothers not to put no holes in our nose and our ears and our eyebrows and tattoos? It's hard, akhi. It's not hard, man. You doing that voluntarily. Nobody walking up to you like, boom, and putting a hole in your eye, right? You choosing to do that. Bilal ibn Rabi'ah, he was forced. And that's how you got the ikhlas that saved you from riyah. The point I'm saying is when you make worship to Allah and you feel like, oh, I'm showing off, or oh, I'm doing this, you got to keep going. You got to go through the blood and the feces. And out of the blood and the feces came the pure milk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us, inshallah, to obey Him. And we should make dua for each other, you know? That's one thing we should do during the week. Say, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone who came to this time we spent together, help them, their problems, make their life easy for them, help, you know, this way. Pray for my wife, we're expecting a baby soon. Pray for my child. Pray for your kids if you're having kids. Whatever, that you find good husband, you find a good wife. Should have this bond of brotherhood between us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us, inshallah. So if you have any questions or comments, we can take them. If not, we need to bounce. Halal bounce.